good evening. On tonight's edition of It's About Dogs, we have a special guest, and that's Christy. She's a holistic animal practitioner. Now, I know that sounds like a big title, and it is, but she helps dogs and other animals in holistic ways. So, hello, Christy.
Hello, Dory. How are you?
Wonderful. And for our listeners that aren't sure exactly what you are and what you do, first of all, you're not a veterinarian.
But correct. I am not.
She has.
I am.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I am a holistic animal practitioner, which that encompasses several things that I do. I came up with that title because it seemed the most fitting. I'm an acupressure therapist. I specialize in canines and equines. Although I've had the treat this year of also working on some farm animals and some cats from time to time as well. So I'm an acupressure therapist, and I also incorporate my Reiki into that. I'm a Reiki master teacher. I've been doing Reiki for many years now. And I also do aromatherapy with animals. So I have my own product line and often make custom blends for difficult cases that don't tend to fall into, you know, the niche of one of my products specifically. And I also from time to time make flower essences for animals as well. So it's kind of a broad genre of different things that I do holistically to help animals.
And when you put them all together, you might need more than one of these services to help your pet. So let's start with the first one. What is acupressure?
Acupressure is the same as acupuncture, if you're familiar with that, except that there are no needles involved. There are over 300 points on the typical canine body, and each point, acupoint, actually stimulates something in the body. So you are having a response when you stimulate these specific points. They are aligned with the various organs, and they're also aligned with various conditions that an animal can have. So it's very interesting that the response that you see, it's almost like an endorphin release that, you know, I'm able to address pain issues, I'm able to address, you know, things such as epilepsy, Cushing's disease. Everything has something that corresponds to it. I had acupuncture treatments years ago when I was in a car accident and could not believe how quickly I recovered from my injuries that were pretty severe at that time. So that's what kind of turned me in that direction when I started thinking about how I can incorporate this into helping animals. And they really enjoy the acupressure too versus I've had acupuncture done for my dogs. Obviously, they're both doing the same thing and working the same points, but often your dog will shake the needles out and they need to keep them in for 20 minutes. So it's hard for an animal to lay there and be still. Whereas when I'm doing an acupressure massage, I'm hitting that point. I get to decide how much I need to hit it based on the animal's reaction and work it in as a massage too, so that I can just kind of sometimes even move on to another point that has the same sort of reaction for the dog. If it's too much for me to work one point in particular, I can use an alternate point. So it's very interesting, and they start to position their bodies in ways that they ask me and tell me, you know, this is where it hurts, you got to work it here. It's very interesting, and they enjoy it.
Now, I had the good fortune, and Cheryl was with me. We did a thing in the summer to help one of our local shelters. And we had the good fortune of watching Christy do some of this on some of the dogs that were walking around. What an amazing difference on some of these.
I remember the one that looked very stressed, was very worried, and it left her like, oh, all right.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. And if it's not something that you've ever checked into, You've heard about the benefits of acupuncture. You've heard about the benefits of massage. This puts them both together. And anything
right.
Without needles is a good thing as far
it's
as I'm
giant
concerned.
Plus.
Yeah, a lot of people are hesitant about acupuncture, even though the needles are so small, but I know a lot of people that they can't quite get over that hump. So they're very happy when I explain to them what the acupressure is and that there's no needles involved.
And even some dogs, I mean, I'm a very well socialized dog, but as soon as you stick her with the needle, she cries like a baby. It's like, she's been killed. So I could never do an acupuncture on her. Even though the needles are very small, she would not hold still for it. But being a doxy, I do check her spine weekly. And that's a little bit of the acupressure to make sure that she's in alignment.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And she loves that, but there's no way I could be putting needles in that dog.
Right.
No.
Not Prudence, no.
No. The whole neighborhood would think she'd be being murdered.
So the acupressure, you can help with pain issues, fear issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we said we saw one, a dog that was totally stressed out and left very relaxed. What other kind of issues can that work with?
Well, what's interesting with some of the cases that I've gotten recently has been sort of nondescript symptoms that the veterinarians don't really know what's going on. So sometimes I can pinpoint what's going on with an animal just by palpating the points. There are diagnostic points along either side of the spine, and they will indicate to me where the problem and the actual blockage is. So it's really interesting. It's kind of about redistributing energy flow to the throughout the body so that the animal feels in balance. And afterward, usually when I give a treatment, sometimes they're just really tired and they need to rest because their entire system is rebalancing and recalibrating. So it's not like something you would get an acupressure treatment for your animal and then take them into competition that same day or even the next day. You would want them to just relax and feel the effects of that. It stimulates the healing system. So sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm dealing with and what I'm working on, but I'm able to help by the animal indicating to me that yes, that is the point that you need to be working. And sometimes that point leads me to another point and I start to make assumptions of what's causing the actual problem. I had that case happen once with a cat that had gotten very kind of aggressive in the house, and they didn't know what was going on with it, and I started working with the diagnostic points, and immediately it reacted so strongly to, like, the kidney points, which often point to cystitis, and that's what was going on with the cat. The cat was, having blockages and passing crystals in the urine, but they weren't aware of that until they went hunting in the litter box and found them. So I ended up, finding that just by working on the cat and the cat telling me that this is why I'm so moody and this is why I'm lashing out at everybody.
Right. And with animals, pain is a big trigger for behavior problems.
Absolutely. 100%.
From inappropriate urination to an aggression, because they can't tell you, my tummy hurts.
Right.
And I have a friend who's a chiropractor, and she was telling me about a dog that they had brought to her, a licensed chiropractor. And she says, I can't fix it till you fix its gut. And it had rocks in its belly.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, the behavior and the way it was walking, they thought, hip dysplasia, something in the spine. And it turned out to be rocks in the dog's belly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But these are some of the kind of things that, being an acupressurist, you can help find and then say, you need to check this with your vet. So,
right.
If your dog has rocks in its belly, Chrissy's not going to be able to find the rocks, but she's going to be able to tell you the dog has a problem in its kidneys or its belly or something.
Right. Exactly.
And let's face
it. Yes, it's definitely no substitute for veterinary care. I do want to make that very clear. But it does help. Like, I especially have a large amount of clients that have weak hind end issues. These animals that are kind of, really up there in age, especially our larger breed dogs. And it's nice to be able to offer this to them and sometimes get them completely off of drugs because they get these massages, once every week or every 2 weeks. I often find that, I'll be working on an animal frequently at first, but then the more I start to redistribute, like that energy flow that I explained to you, it stimulates the healing response in the animal. And then sometimes I don't have to see them for a month. sometimes longer. And the owners are very in tune. I find that people who start to work with their animals in a holistic nature become very in tune with their animals. They start to keep journals and notice patterns and things that are going on, and they will just know the next time that they're really due for an appointment, and anything that they're starting to show that, oh, she's bunny hopping on the stairs again with her back legs, you know, I think it's time. And it's good when there can be that in tune, and that it's not all about, I'm just going to run to the vet and get some drugs that sometimes have harmful side effects, especially for our older animals that are starting to, their organs are starting to weaken to begin with.
And some of those drugs, you have to monitor, you know, liver and kidney functions while they're on
yes.
it. And
yep.
let's face it, we don't want to take drugs unless we have to. We certainly don't want to give them to our pets.
Right. Exactly. So it's nice. It's a nice alternative, and it's something that the animal starts to look forward to. I show up, and they're like, oh, hey, I know what you're going to do for me. I have this one dog that I worked on yesterday, and out of every dog I've ever worked on, he is the funniest because that's what he expects from me. And as soon as I sit down on the floor, he gets in my lap and puts his head down, like goes to sleep, like, do your thing, I'm ready. He just loves it. I roll him around on the floor. He's barely even aware of what I'm doing.
But how wonderful for that dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's not just dogs you work on. You do work on horses and...
Yes.
And branching out into other animals, because let's face it, we always have some fun pets. But now
correct.
Tell us a little bit about the Reiki.
Reiki is really interesting. It's it works with the magnetic field around your body, so it's almost like working with your energy field, and it's what surrounds you before anything actually infiltrates into your body. We're all surrounded with this magnetic field, scientifically proven. They can photograph it. If you've ever heard of Curlian photography and photographing the aura that actually extends out around an animal and or a person. I find working with cats is really, really interesting because their aura extends out really far, and I've made friends with cats that were completely antisocial or feral just by like touching them from a distance and reaching my hand out and stroking their aura, and they are able to feel this. They will actually arch their back even though you're not even touching them and then approach you. So it's kind of like just working with that field. And what's so interesting about Reiki is that it can get to the root of a problem without even knowing what it is. And a lot of times, like I said, I'm working on an animal that I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong. I've just been called in because there is a problem. It's either behavior related or the animal seems to be in pain. And Reiki just goes where it needs to go. I don't even have to have my hands in a particular area. And that's when I start to see the animals move around too and often place their body into my hands where they're feeling that they need it the most. And Reiki is also, they're very, when I work on a person, because I work on people through Reiki too, it's a completely different response than what I see with an animal. With a person, they usually go to sleep immediately. They almost feel like they're back in the womb. It's a very safe, enclosing feeling. With an animal, they'll turn around and like look at me really soulfully into my eyes, or like I said, they'll move around and position their body a certain way into my hands, and it's very real. I think I've, you know, questioned, and a lot of people question, oh, is that Reiki really working? Is that like hands-on healing? What is that all about? But when you're working with the energy field like that, to see the response from these animals, you know it when you see it, that it's real and that something's happening. And you can also send Reiki from a distance. I've been in situations before too. One that was really fascinating was these horses that were all gathered together in a pasture, and I was working on one from a distance because I knew that one of the other horses was aggressive and I couldn't get near the horse that I needed to work on. So I was just directing energy towards him, and he started to fall asleep, and the other four horses around him started to sway and close their eyes as well. So seeing these large animals completely affected by me just standing there and directing healing energy at one is just proof in the pudding. Very fascinating to watch.
And I've heard of this before. I don't know a lot about it. It's something I'm researching.
Mm-hmm.
But as a person, you know when somebody is near you and not touching you, you can feel that they're there.
Right.
That's kind of the field that you're working with.
Right. That is exactly, and that's a way in my classes that I have actually explained it to people. It's that sense that something is near you or around you. It's proven we all have this magnetic field around our bodies, and that's what you're working with. And supposedly that is where illness enters into our body first. And that makes sense from a stress perspective of going out. You know, anybody can relate, especially this time of year, going out into holiday shopping and traffic just dealing with people being in your space and in your general circle and vicinity around you. And some people are more sensitive to that than others.
And have you ever met somebody that you might not have even have met them, but stood next to them in the supermarket line and you're like, I can't wait to get away from this person?
Yeah.
They have bad auras. Exactly. And other people that you could be standing in line to, and they turn around and you start up a nice little 2-minute conversation and you both leave with smiles on your face.
Right.
Now, you've never seen these people before. Now, I do this all the time. My husband says I'm a little Miss Social Butterfly. I see somebody with a bad aura in the supermarket line, especially if it's an older person, and I start up a little conversation and their aura changes and it might make their day.
Right.
But you can sense it, but you're much more trained that you can sense a lot more of this. You can, but you know, listeners, think about this in your own life. You stand next to somebody, you're like, I can't wait to get away from them. It's just, you know, they're out of balance with the world and nature and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real science. I've seen stuff on the Science Channel about it. But you've got the ability to help manipulate this. You've got training in this. I know this is a trained science, people. This is not mumbo jumbo, please. Don't think it is, because this is a trained science.
It works right in line with the acupressure. Actually, you know, acupressure goes back over 4,000 years. We're talking about a system of traditional Chinese medicine that is popularly employed in China. So the Reiki is a Japanese art and technique, and it's the same thing. It's all about redistributing energy flow in the body so that everything is flowing and in harmony. And that's, they work so well and cohesively together. So typically when I do a treatment on an animal, I will work the points first because I'm actually watching for a reaction. So every time I do a treatment, I'm taking notes and I'm watching exactly what the animal is telling me as I work each point. And then I document that and watch that change from session to session. But I don't like to do Reiki first because Reiki usually puts the animal out. They go right to sleep and they get very relaxed. And I feel like I need to see the honest reaction to working the points first. So it's a nice way for me to wrap up the session, especially if some of those points were tender to work, to give them that Reiki as a closure effect to the session.
And then the third thing you do, which all ties in together, is the scents. And especially with dogs that are so scent driven. Tell us a little bit about scent therapy.
Well, aromatherapy for animals is extremely powerful because, as you said, they are scent driven. That is their number one way of perceiving the world. It's over 100 times stronger than our own. So I can really address working with them in that sense. I think it's even stronger than it is working, you know, with aromatherapy with people sometimes. And I keep my products pretty diluted because some things that are out there, especially typical household products that are in our animals' environment all the time, can be quite harmful to our animals, especially cats. So I work with this in two different ways. Right now, you know, I work with the dogs, but I also have a cat line. My cat line does not contain any essential oils. It only contains hydrosols. And that is because cats are completely built different than dogs, and they can have a reaction to anything. I don't think anybody realizes how sensitive our felines are. And hydrosols is just kind of like the runoff from an essential oil. It's when they distill an essential oil and it gathers up, you know, from the, it's like a vaporizing sort of action that they gather it, and it still has the properties of that essential oil, but it is not as strong. It's completely diluted. It's pretty much along the lines of a floral water, and the cats can deal with that. But dogs are so interesting. When I introduce them to an oil, that if they are reacting to it positively, they'll come up and sometimes they want to eat the bottle. They try to lick at it, and this is not something that you apply internally. It's external use only, but they'll start licking and how do I get that? That's interesting. And my dog is so used to having this applied to her. Usually I tell my clients, oh, put it on a bandana first, make sure that they're okay with it, put it on their collar. But my dog, she comes up to me and she bows her head and she waits to hear the drop, you know, feel the drop on the top of her head. And then I spread it out to her ears. So I work with several different of the products that I offer. I actually have one for calming. That's my Zen doggy. And I worked with that for, you know, animals with separation anxiety. It's becoming that is having more and more uses that I didn't even originally attend it to, but yeah. Somebody will call me and tell me, hey, I use Zen doggy for this. And I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. I never thought of that. But, you know, inter-household aggression between animals, I've been able to calm down between the dogs. I also make a product called Brave Paws. Now, this is for dogs that have fear, and especially dogs that are just not trusting of people or other animals. I originally designed this blend for a woman that had a poor little pug that didn't fit in with the rest of the pack, and she had no confidence, and they kind of trampled over her, and she was my inspiration for Brave Paws. And then I make Wagon Hound, which is for our traveling dogs that do not do well. And this is for behavior related, which I'm sure that you understand the difference. It's not,
right?
You know, it's like that motion sickness that you can get. And it's also a behavior related as well, because there's calming oils in there. So I look at the properties of an oil, and that's how I determine what should go in there. In the Zen doggy, obviously there's sedative oils in there, and the Wagon Hound, there's things to calm an upset stomach when it's motion sickness related. And then I make Liberation for dogs and for cats, and that is my anti-flea and tick. And I also spray it on myself when I go hiking, because it smells wonderful and the bugs can't stand it, and that's the goal. So
now,
keeping our dogs protected naturally.
We had talked last week or the week before, and I'd like to see you develop something for our male dogs for when our female dogs are in season, and it doesn't bother them so much. So when you've got that,
okay,
let me know, because I know a lot of, you know, breeders, or even if you have a male dog, and it could be neutered, but the female down the street is in season and it bothers them and they can't help it. So,
yes. And I actually did a custom blend for somebody once who had adopted a dog who was still, you know, had all sorts of conditions from the shelter, was getting over kennel cough and mange, and she could not get him neutered yet because the vet said, we want to wait until he's done with the medications and he's over all of this. But he was very, very, shall we say, amorous.
Yeah.
And not only with other animals, but, you know, with the people in the house as well. And it was something we wanted to get on top of quickly. So I did make a custom blend for, and it did help him, because I know what oils need to be involved for that sort of reaction. So you just give me a call when you're ready.
Well, see, I know a lot of
and
people
we'll come
that
up with something.
Have intact dogs for either performance or show or breeding.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't breed dogs, but I do have an intact dog. I have two intact dogs in the house and one neutered. And our little female, I mean, she goes in the season. She can't help it. And our poor male suffers
right.
terribly. And I'd love to be able to help him without the use of drugs.
Exactly.
Because he's 13 and a half, so I certainly don't want to give him drugs.
Right.
And unfortunately, at his age, I am not going to neuter him because, first of all, it's not going to make any difference in what he smells. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I don't want to put him under anesthesia at 13 and a half.
Absolutely not.
And with the female, she's a performance dog. She's a champion show dog. So she cannot be spayed at this point.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's where
alternative therapies come into practice. And, you know, actually, it's funny that we use that word alternative because most of the things that I'm talking about have been around for ages and are the inspiration for our current medicines because there's plant medicine in everything that we take, even though, you know, some of it has been interfered with by man to create these synthetic chemicals. But that is the basis. You know, aspirin comes from willow bark, and it's just working with nature and what she's already providing for us. I mean, we see our animals kind of scout through the yard sometimes when they've got an upset butt belly. You'll see them chewing on a particular weed in particular. But, you know, they know what they're doing and as far as treating themselves. And that's what doing all these holistic therapies is about. It's about stimulating the response in the body to heal itself.
So, listeners, you can see how these three pieces together can help your animal get over things. And it's not a replacement for veterinary medical care. This is in addition.
Right. And it complements.
Yeah. But before we run out of time, Christy, for our listeners that would like more information or would like to talk to you about it, I'd like you to give us your website, your Facebook, your phone number, please.
Okay. I am on the web at sitstayzen.com. You can also visit me on Facebook under the same name at sitstayzen. And my phone number is 570-795-9368.
And I've met Christy several times over the years. If you just want to ask her some questions, please contact her. And you have an email through your web that they can, you know, email you if they're afraid to talk, right?
Yes, yes. It's Christy at sitstayzen.com, and Christy is spelled K-R-I-S-T-Y.
The normal spelling.
Yeah, well, most people spell it with a C and like to put that I-E on the end, so I don't know.
But these programs are something that could really help your animal. And me being a behaviorist and I go out, I can see how this would really help some of the, especially the anxiety and phobia driven dogs that I deal with. So you might need a trainer in addition to Christy's services and your vet to make your pet whole. But once you get to that point, you've got a great pet forever.
Definitely.
You know?
That's right.
And Christy's very personable to talk to.
Thank you.
Please feel free to give her a call. She also helps with the shelter stuff. This is where I keep running into her at all the different shelter things. And we last met up at the Desen Walk and it was cold.
It was. But the dogs had a great time, so it was worth it.
And it was all about helping the Desen shelter, which is, you know, we kind of sponsor them through WFTE with animals and events they have going on. And I want to thank you, Christy, very much for being with us tonight and explaining a little bit about what these different things are, because most people have no idea.
Right. Thank you, Dory. I appreciate you for asking me.
And you've only touched the surface. So you want more information, please contact her. She'll be glad to take the time to explain it to you. Tell her your dog or your horse or your cat's problem, and she might be able to come up with a way to make it better for both of you.